Aloha and welcome to The Conversation. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. You've seen it and you've probably talked about it. Public trust in the media has been in free fall for decades. What to do about it now brings more issues than answers. Social media allows fast access to like-minded perspectives and citizen reporting. Both social and traditional media are on the receiving end of fake news accusations, often from the White House. Still, many Americans agree that a free press is a democratic necessity. So how can trust in the media be rebuilt? NPR Ombudsman Elizabeth Jensen is in Hawaii to talk about it tonight at the Japanese Cultural Center, and she's with us now. Thank you for being here. Good to see you.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
Fake news, you know, isn't new. Once we called it yellow journalism. But with all the attention on fake news now, has addressing trust in the media become any easier?
Oh, I think we're certainly at a time right now where it is absolutely sort of a moment, if you will. I think that sort of there's a perfect storm, if you will, of fake news, of social media is coming together. This election, as you note, the White House and an administration that is making very public these charges. So I think actually it's probably one of the most difficult times to address this issue. I think it's just in people's minds every day, and there are a lot of charges flying, and I think it's actually a pretty challenging time right now.
Some social science research says that we're hardwired to seek agreement. But agreement is a very different thing from deception of fact. Do we need a little remedial work in understanding what constitutes a fact and not just an opinion?
I think so. You know, there's this phenomenon of confirmation bias, which you are hardwired, we are hardwired to look for facts which meet our agreement. And I think, you know, in the letters I see from some listeners and some of the conversation I see, people are cherry picking facts. Sort of they hear what they want to hear and they're sort of looking, not looking at the other facts that maybe don't agree with their preset conclusion, if you will. So some of it is fact. Some of it is sort of we're conflating fact and opinion. Sometimes people hear opinion as fact. I think we need to be a little better about explaining, well, this is reporting and this is opinion and this is analysis and sort of separating all those issues out.
Most people are still going to be looking for sources that they agree with. Mm-hmm. And those sources have, as we noted, even from the news today, become increasingly more consolidated. Mm-hmm. So what do you see as the media industry's responsibility to aid in rebuilding public trust and increase its own integrity?
Right. I do think that there are the media has to bear a little bit of responsibility here. If you look at some of the long-term trends, there were some big stories that the media got wrong. And again, it's hard to talk about the media. What do we talk about what do we mean when we talk about the media? That's a pretty broad statement. But let's say that there are some stories that the mainstream press over the past couple decades really got wrong. I mean, let's just even go back to Dateline NBC in 1992. You know, they rigged a truck to explode. The story was probably accurate, but the way it was very deceptive in the way that they chose to illustrate it on television. And if you talk to folks, they don't forget these. They don't forget these issues. So there was the misreporting that led up to the 2003 invasion of Iraq. You know, the evidence of weapons of mass destruction or not in Iraq. There was the election last year. People see, you know, challenges because there were many in the media who just simply did not anticipate the results being what they were. So I do think the media has to sort of take some responsibility here, even in terms of accuracy. So one of the you talk about consolidation and you talk about sort of cutbacks because of the digital onslaught in journalism. Well, the first people to go have been the copy editors. You know, copy editors are wonderful folks in a newsroom. They keep your work accurate. They look at your stories to make sure all the facts are right, to make sure the nuance is there. They've been decimated. Their ranks have been decimated. So I think one of the things that the press has to do is simply, you know, be more accurate, hire more copy editors.
In addition to hiring copy editors, there also seems to be a responsibility to educate a little bit better in the public sphere. We have been long told that, you know, critical thinking skills are not exactly our strong suit. And again, because we go looking for agreement, that those critical thinking skills, even if they are there, tend to be subjugated. What do you think that we as the media, and again, I agree with your point that it's hard to paint with a very, you know, big brush, but in terms of mainstream media, need to do to be able to help people develop more media literacy than they've had in recent generations?
Right. News literacy, media literacy is a really interesting topic. There are a lot of folks who simply do not understand sort of the rigor that goes into reporting a story. I hear this over and over from reporters and hosts in newsrooms that I talk to across the country. They just, you know, listeners, readers, and I'm sure it's the same in other newsrooms. They don't necessarily know that, you know, a reporter will go out, they'll talk to multiple people to get the perspective. They will check the facts. They will have an editor look at it. There will be multiple levels of editors that look at the story. So that's basic news literacy. This is how we go about our work. But then the other word that you hear a lot about these days is transparency. I think it's become a buzzword, but I think it really captures in many ways what we as we in the news, newsrooms need to do, which is to step back and say, okay, this is how we did our work. You know, you think about a high school math student. They have to show their
work,
right? They have to show their work, right? That's, you know, the teacher doesn't want the answer. They want to know how you got from A to B. Well, so why are we not in the press doing that? So where did each fact come from? If you look at Jimmy Wales of Wikipedia fame is starting a new Wiki Tribune, and some of that work is he's going to be, you know, annotating each fact. So you're hyperlinking where each fact comes from. Now, can we do that in, I don't know, the New York Times, the NPR newsroom? I don't know. It's time consuming and tedious. But I think there is a level of transparency there that says, okay, these facts that I am basing my story on came from X, Y, and Z. Or even at a different level, what question did you ask to reach your conclusion? So, you know, walk me through your reporting process. Tell me how, if you're going to say that, you know, X is a fact, how you got there. Who did you talk to? What are the facts that bolstered this conclusion?
I can imagine that a lot of the newsrooms have heard you say that and thought, boy, that's a lot of work. How are we going to go back and do that with our skeletal staffs?
Sure.
And the fact that they don't necessarily even have the copy editors at the level at which you would like to see.
Right.
What's a good first step for particularly small organizations?
I think it's, you know, you've identified it. Money is a big challenge. I think money and time. You know, we are in a more faster news ecosystem, if you will. You know, we're basing our work on Twitter. We're not sort of taking a step back and really taking the time. But, you know, and it's not clear that consumers want that. At the same time, you know, I think maybe some of this we just need to figure out a way to do. So I argued a couple of months ago that NPR itself needed to hire another copy editor, and actually I'm very happy to report that they did just last week. So,
well, I wish we had more time to talk, but I'm glad we're going to hear you later on this evening.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for the time today.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Jensen is NPR's ombudsman and public editor. She's the public's representative to NPR and is responsible for bringing transparency to the network's journalism and journalism ethics. She'll speak this evening at the Japanese Cultural Center. Details are on our Facebook page, The Conversation.